Welcome to Refresh, a podcast designed to revive, recharge, and renew your faith and give you the tools to follow Jesus. Refresh comes to you from the Salvation Army in Gwinnett County, Georgia. We meet in person every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or online on Facebook and YouTube at Sal Army Gwinnett. We are excited that you have joined us this week and pray that God will bring His Word to life. And now, for our speaker.
We do give Him all the glory and all the honor today, do we not? Thank you, praise team. In Jesus' name, I stand redeemed. A miracle of His grace. In Jesus' name, I've been made clean. For He stood in my place. And all my sin He took away. I will never be the same. I've found the source for all I need. In Jesus' name, right? What a testimony that second verse is. I praise God today that I am redeemed. I stand before you a redeemed man of God. I praise God for His grace in my life, that I've been made clean. Because He takes my sin away, I will never be the same. I don't want to be the same. I don't want to. Every day is new. Every day is an opportunity to grow in Christ. Carla and I were going back and forth for a few weeks on what the theme should be today. And after more than likely overthinking it, we were reminded to keep it simple. Keep it simple. And the phrase kept coming back to us that we've probably all heard before, right? To know Christ and to make Him known. To know Christ and to make Him known. What better way to begin our time here? And this, listen, this is clearly not to say that you don't know Christ and that you're not making Him known. Because believe me, I know that it's happening. I know it's happening. We're so grateful to Paul and Annalise for setting the tone for our arrival. So many incredible God-honoring stories and situations have happened and are happening because of their leadership in this core. For the last 2 months, we actually set up calls almost every week. There were weeks that didn't happen because, you know, things happen. But he was very gracious with his time. Very gracious. And we then had the rare opportunity at the end of May to actually come here and sit down with the advisory council and core council on May 30th to listen about the future of this core. It was 100% clear that day that the focus must be on Christ. The focus must be on Christ. For a little bit, we were going this way and going this way, and then it was brought back and said, wait. No, we do what we do, and that is to know Christ and make Him known. And Carl and I were just sitting there saying, oh, yeah, this is going to be good. We're thrilled to join you on this holy ride and didn't want to get any further without truly thanking the Ryersons for their leadership. Before we get into it, we want to, I keep saying we, I keep looking at, you know, we're a team, you know, so I'm saying we, but I want to talk about our family. The strange thing is we do have roots in this core. I will forever be grateful for the ministry of the Territorial Staff Band and the Staff Songsters, but we'll get there in a moment. But first, the band. They visited Brazil in 2000. And I am so grateful for that. Where my now father in love.
Don't forget it.
I know. I never forget that. First time he met me in person, he had me in a headlock. But that's another story. He actually apparently wasn't supposed to be the translator. And we were talking to David Jeffrey a little earlier. And he's telling me a little bit about this story. But I am forever grateful for that trip that the band took. Dr. Holtz, thank you. Thank you. I'm so grateful because that trip is what really got the Hoffers to the United States and to the Southern Territory. And when this corps was just getting started, the Hoffers actually attended the corps before becoming the Atlanta Temple Corps officers. And fast forward to January 2009, I'd already known Carla through summer camp and Territorial Music Institute, just a plug for TMI, you know, you're welcome. But we first met at TMI, and when the Hoffers were the morning manna speakers. But it was January 2009 when we officially started dating, Carla and I. And I remember, let me set the scene for you. I remember walking up to the Temple Corps for rehearsals, literally in the parking lot. And you know, you're reading through the itinerary, and I had heard through the grapevine that Carla was joining Songsters that year. So I flipped open to the personnel section to look at all the names. And there it was. Two names, Carla Hoffer. And it just lifted off the page. I said, this is going to be a great weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. That Sunday, the Songsters were actually here for worship. We sat in the fellowship. I'll get it in a moment. But the fellowship hall over there. And we exchanged notes on the back of the bulletin. And we actually have that on the screen. It's really hard to tell. I mean, it's really hard to read. But I said, because I was going back to Oklahoma State. She lived here in Atlanta. I said, I have no problem waiting. And she says, me too. We'll make it happen. I'm pretty excited about this, not going to lie. I can't wait to see what happens. And she says, well, I've been waiting 2 years as it is. What's another couple years? I'm willing to seriously make this happen. If you are, you make me smile. I know. We had to get that out of the way. But that happened in the fellowship hall at this core. And so, yeah, we have roots in this core. We have three wonderful children who you've seen already, and they keep us busy. They keep us on our toes. Lucas is a Northside baby, so welcome home, Lucas. Welcome home. All three are entering Brookwood Elementary in August. Lucas is going into the fifth grade. He's our percussionist in the family, like we need another drummer. But it'll be good, and he loves it. He loves it. He cannot wait to learn more here. He's looking forward to learning so much, and he loves being outside. He loves playing soccer. He loves playing baseball, and I'm wondering where he gets it from. Because you'll learn, many of you know my athletic abilities. There's none. There's none. But he loves it. Hazel is our beautiful, independent middle child. She's going into the second grade, and it cannot come soon enough. We got here Monday, and the first thing she said, but school starts next week. No, we gotta wait. We gotta wait. She's so ready for school. She's a smart girl. She's so intelligent, who loves to learn about anything she can. She's a bit shy, but we know this core is going to be so good for her to thrive in. She also has a beautiful singing voice that hopefully one day you'll be able to hear her up here. And then Heidi, our rambunctious, full of energy 5-year-old who enters kindergarten. She's full of life, she's fearless, and she loves to dance in public. She hears rhythm and she hears music and she's dancing. She can sometimes be a bit shy too, but not very long, not very long. But we truly thank you all for your warm welcome so far. From the unloading crew last week in 150-degree heat, thank you. To the fam jam on Wednesday night, what a beautiful reflection of God's love and God's grace. A church where it's evident people are striving to know Jesus and to make him known. We heard some highlights from John 17 earlier. And thank you, Nico. Oh, here's Nico read the headers for us, so that was beautiful. I'd like to read the first 5 verses again. John 17, 1 through 5. John 17, the Gospel of John. It says, after Jesus said this, he looked toward heaven And he prayed, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. For you granted him authority over all people, that he might give eternal life to all those you have given him. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began." This section of the prayer finds Jesus talking to his Father about his efforts on earth to glorify him and to be obedient to his will. Now, with the work of the incarnation complete, Jesus anticipates his return to the glory he had before creation. Jesus prayed to the Father immediately after telling his disciples that in this world you might have trouble. No, in this world you will have trouble. Chapter 17 is Jesus' longest recorded prayer. The prayer can be divided into three sections: Jesus' prayer for himself, his prayer for his disciples, and his prayer for future believers. He prayed for you and me before we were even walking this earth. Jesus addressed God as Father. Instead of praying for rescue from this hour, he prayed that God would glorify him so that he might in turn would glorify the Father. The Father gave Jesus authority to give eternal life. Eternal life is defined relationally as knowing God and Jesus Christ. Knowing means more, though, than merely just knowing who God and Jesus are, Jesus is. But it means knowing God and Jesus in a personal way through faith. Jesus glorified the Father by completing the work the Father gave him, especially his death on the cross, right? Jesus spoke as if the work was already accomplished because there was no doubt that it would be. Do we know Jesus today? I mean, do we know Jesus? Do you know him intimately? And so many times in the day and age we live, we hear that word intimate, and we think far too sensual, and we think about the flesh, but it's so much more than that. Do you know him intimately? Whatever you may think in the midst of our current worldly trials and tribulations as a church, I call us together to know Christ intimately. Our call in glory is to know Christ and to make him known. You'll hear me say that quite a few times. It is no more and no less than John 17, 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Gaining a greater understanding of and getting to know Jesus Christ intimately should be our primary goal. We need a vital connection to Christ, a profound, a personal, a life-changing relationship, one that is for the here and now and the eternal. Some mistakenly believe that eternal life can only be enjoyed after death. I'm enjoying eternal life right now as I speak. Scripture is clear that it's a present reality for believers, marked by God's presence and the beginning of a new spiritual life. You don't just receive the gift of living forever. You are given the awe-inspiring privilege of having a vibrant, growing relationship with the Creator of all that exists. To receive eternal life, then, is to enter the divine realm with the goal of experiencing an intimate relationship with God through Jesus. It's the uninterrupted, deepening knowledge and experience of God. So how are you seeking to know God? Do you know him fully? Or are you just picking up portions of him here and there? I was reading about this partial knowledge issue the other day from a woman named Valletta Beatty. She's an author. She says, "Partial knowledge of Jesus is a challenge for Christians today. It's like trying to complete a complex puzzle with only a handful of pieces. And how many of you are puzzled? Do you like puzzles? You know, when you make a puzzle, but then you made it before and you put it back, but then you realize, I'm missing some pieces. Well, what's the point of doing it, right? But when we separate Christ into selective traits, prioritizing some over others, we end up with a distorted picture of who Jesus is. Partial knowledge happens when we are content with a shallow understanding of Christ, zeroing in on certain traits while ignoring his fullness. The result is a warped picture of Jesus that stunts our spiritual maturity. For example, some focus on Jesus as a healer and provider, which is great, but maybe ignore his call to discipleship and self-sacrifice. Others see him solely as a savior while downplaying his identity as the eternal Son of God. These unbalanced views can lead to flaws in our thinking and our theology. They prevent us from accurately representing Christ to others. To truly know Christ, we must pursue him wholeheartedly, not selectively. A complete knowledge of Jesus transforms us wholly into his likeness. To know Jesus, we must seek out all the missing pieces. We need a comprehensive understanding of Christ in all his power, in all his glory and humanity. But again, how do we do this? How do we do this? The old Sunday school chorus still remains true today. When we read our Bibles, right? And when we pray every day, what happens? We grow. I know when you think about the chorus, it may sound a little cliche, but there's nothing cliche about digging into the inspired Word of God and daily speaking to the Creator of the universe. This is how we get to know him more. If you're stuck with this, stuck in your daily routine, Carla and I would love to talk to you more. We'd love to walk you through that. But at the end of the day, this is not an option for believers. This is not an option for believers. We must be growing in him daily. Open your Bibles. Read your Bibles. Reflect on what you've read. And as far as praying goes, I think about song number 765 from time to time. It's literally called, I Often Say My Prayers. How many of us do things because it's what we're told, or you grew up doing it because that's what you do, right? It's easy to get robotic, is it not? I mean, our youngest, Heidi, bless her heart. See, I'm getting further south, I can say that. No. Bless her heart. She loves to pray at mealtimes. Loves to pray at mealtimes. And yes, she's 5, so I guess it really doesn't count. But still, I'm going to use this as an illustration anyway. We're trying to get her to change it up a bit. But here's how it goes. Oh, can I pray? Can I pray? Yes, Heidi, you can pray. Dear God, thank you for Mommy, Daddy, Lucas, Hazel, Heidi. Amen. Oh, and the food. Amen. Am I wrong? Now, if other people are sitting at the table, it may be, Dear God, thank you for Mommy, Daddy, Lucas, Hazel, Heidi, Nana, Vovo, Oma, and food. Amen. Okay, so she'll look around to make sure who's sitting at the table. But she is praying, so we'll take it. But this song from our songbook speaks to this routine. I often say my prayers, but do I ever pray? And do the wishes of my heart go with the words I say? I may as well kneel down and worship gods of stone as offer to the living God a prayer of words alone. For words without the heart the Lord will never hear, nor will he to those lips attend whose prayers are not sincere. And finally, verse 4, it says, Lord, show me what I need and teach me how to pray. Nor let me ask thee for thy grace, not feeling what I say. Friends, don't be ashamed to ask the Lord to teach you how to pray. Don't be ashamed to pray. This is a praying church, right? I know it is. I've been told it's a praying church, and I believe this is a praying church. How many of us say to a friend or neighbor, "Hey man, I'm praying for you today." But then we just, you know, go on our daily life. We have to mean it, right? If we're saying we're going to pray for somebody, we need to pray for them. And I've already seen several emails come out last week and into the weekend about prayer requests and prayer partners, and that's a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing. Carl and I are so grateful for people who have prayed for us over the years, many of whom are sitting in front of me right now, and not just over here, but many of whom are sitting in front of me right now. Many of those who have prayed for us, I know, have a deep relationship with our Father because of their connection to Him. I have seen continued transformation in their lives because of their deepening knowledge of Christ. We must know Christ, and we need to make Him known, right? How do we do this? We need to live godly lives, right? We need to know Jesus like we've said we know Him. We need to be a godly influence on others. The United States Marines used to use the phrase, needing a few good men, right? The eyes of the Lord are likewise scanning the earth in order to find godly men and women who will step forward and use their influence to exalt Him. We see this in Ezekiel, where God says, "I searched for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand in the gap before me for the land, so that I would not destroy it." A gap is a place where error or falsehood has crept in, allowing satanic confusion and inviting the judgment of God. Sometimes these gaps are so serious that they jeopardize entire nations. Such a time faced Israel following the Exodus, but the Word of God records this remarkable statement in Psalm 106. "Therefore He said that He would destroy them, had not Moses, His chosen one, stood in the breach before Him to turn away His wrath from destroying them." The people were growing impatient when Moses ascended Mount Sinai. The people were making idols because of this, and God threatened to consume His people right then and there. But Moses risked his life to stand as a mediator between the wayward people and their holy God. Few of us will ever be called upon to save a nation, but we can build up protection around our families and churches by insisting on speaking the whole counsel of God. In Moses' day, one man made all the difference. We can make that difference today. I know we can. This reminded me of a Southern Spirit article that Steve Kellner wrote. There's some family with Steve Kellner today, isn't there? He said this: "Of course, this idea of using only a few good men to do the fighting goes all the way back to the Old Testament, when God insisted that Gideon reduce the 32,000-man Israelite army to just 300 before going to battle. God did this so that He would receive the glory when the battle was won, thus strengthening the faith of the Israelites and attracting unbelievers among all the nations to Him." Steve goes on, he says, "We salvationists are also few in number. And it can be discouraging to compare our little army to the gargantuan task of spreading the gospel and meeting human needs, both in our communities and worldwide. But we've never been anything but a tiny minority at any time in our history. Anything that we have or will accomplish as an army brings glory to God, because it is obvious that it didn't happen on account of our strength or skill, but only by Him working through us." Amen. We must make Him known, even if we feel it's not big enough. We just have to be faithful, right? We have to be faithful. I mean, what about the prostitute named Rahab? She made the right choice and became the ancestor of the Messiah. A widow named Ruth chose the God of Israel, became the great-grandmother of King David, and was also the forebearer of Christ. An infertile wife named Hannah poured out her soul to God and became the mother of Samuel. A man named Abram responded to God, left his relatives behind, and became the father of all who believe. A woman named Mary poured expensive perfume on Jesus' head and gained for herself an eternal monument in history. Who are the influential people on this earth? Who are they? They are the ones who leave all to follow the Lord. And listen, when we talk about that in the Salvation Army, most of the time, you know, we're talking about officership. I'm not just talking about officership here. This could mean a whole lot of people. I'm talking about men and women and children who prove themselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. That's who I'm talking about. Is that you? Is it you? While Paul was giving his farewell address to the Ephesian elders, he said this, recorded in Acts 20. He said, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Hallelujah. Paul found his life by losing it, and he loved his life by not counting it dear. He had learned to love God's will over everything else, and he realized that obeying his Savior yielded the greatest joy, the greatest fulfillment. The Lord wants us to be like the Apostle Paul, being so devoted in our love and service that nothing, nothing could ever keep us from obeying him wholeheartedly. How can we cultivate a faith and zeal like Paul's, striving to be completely oriented toward Christ's message and glory? Can you imagine the amount of good news shared right here in Gwinnett County, across Atlanta, across our nation and the world, if we were all completely oriented toward Christ's message and glory? A lot can happen. A lot can happen. When we make Christ known, we must first remember that Christ was appointed by God. Matthew 12, 18, it says, "Here is my servant whom I have chosen." We know that Christ's appointment was from God because it was announced by God and because it was acceptable and pleasing to God. Christ didn't appoint himself. He was appointed. As a believer, you too have been appointed for the work of the kingdom of God, which is to rescue non-believers from their kingdom of self. You must make sure, however, that your calling for your specific role is pleasing to God and comes from him. When we make Christ known, we must remember that Christ received approval from God. Matthew 12, 18 also says, "The one I love and whom I delight." Not only was God pleased with the task he chose for Christ, he was pleased with Christ himself. When God is pleased with what you're doing, you also experience his presence. You experience his power in your evangelistic efforts. When we make Christ known, we must remember that Christ's patience was acknowledged by God. Matthew 12, 19, it says, "He will not quarrel or cry aloud, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets." Jesus overcame the trials God predicted he would face. He didn't give in to the pressures of the job. He stayed with his commission regardless of its demands. You must not let anything get in the way of fulfillment of the mission to take the gospel to people who have not heard. Despite discouragement, we must continue to move forward in the community of others and in the fellowship of our suffering Christ. And finally, when we make Christ known, we must remember that Christ's accomplishment was assured by God. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Jesus persevered to perform the task that was assigned to him despite its difficulties, as God promised. His perseverance resulted in people's trust in his name. We must stay the course, right? Only then can we be used by God's Spirit to cause others to put their trust in Christ. I'm going to invite Nick up to play, to begin playing. And I want to, as the music begins, I want to draw your heart back to the song that Carla and I sang earlier. In Jesus' name, we're gathered here. We've come to worship our Lord. We stand as one, for we become a family bound by His word. We lift our hands in joyous praise, united in this refrain. We found the source for all we need in Jesus' name. This is exactly what we've come to do here today. Yeah, we've gathered to say welcome to Carla and I and the kids, but yeah, that's great. But we are gathered here to worship our Lord and Savior, to give Him praise and adoration. We indeed stand as one today in Jesus Christ. Friends, if you don't know Him today, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting on? There is no better time than right now, at this time. As Christians, we are to know Christ and make Him known. In order for us to make Him known, we got to know Him, right? To have an intimate relationship with Him. We have the mercy seat here, the altar. I love this place. I invite you this morning to kneel, to come to this place of prayer. It's also a great time for those of you who do know Christ. And hallelujah, I know there's a lot of us in this room that know Christ. Praise Jesus. Pray that God would fill you with His Holy Spirit everywhere you go so that people know who you represent. You know, those of us who wear the uniform, when we take it off, we still represent Christ. We still represent Christ. Pray that God would give you the words to say when you don't know what to say. And sometimes it's not a word at all. It's just a hand on a shoulder. But do you know Him? Are you making Him known? Before we sing, I leave you with a verse from Philippians 3. I think you all probably know this. It says, I want to know Christ. Yes. Love that He has that word yes in there. It's driving it home. I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of His resurrection and participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Friends, Paul knew exactly what he aimed for. He was not floundering. He wasn't lost. He had a clear goal. Paul wrote that his primary pursuit was to know Christ, including His sufferings. Don't forget that part. But Paul pursued the knowledge of Jesus. He didn't dwell on the past. He stretched toward what is ahead. I invite you today to pray like Paul, that God would give you a deeper understanding of His nature. Confess your sins today. Don't dwell on the past. Instead, keep your eyes on Jesus. Ask God to help you press on, to press on toward your reward in Christ.
Thank you for listening to Refresh. Be sure to hit subscribe and like us on Facebook and YouTube to never miss an episode. If you liked what you heard, be sure to share it with your friends and family. We pray that you will be refreshed and ready to take on your week. See you next time. God bless.